Hello, we're on the air. This is Kathy Cook, Bright Lights Pathfinders, I'm also known as, and Michael calls me Tassie. Tonight I have a very wonderful, wonderful guest, and I'm going to just bring her on air because there's just so much to tell about her, and she's going to teach me a little thing or two here, as well as share with you, active listening audience, so many different things. I can't wait to get to know her better. Hello, Jackie.
Hi, Kathy. How are you?
Doing well. Do you want to go by Jacqueline or Jackie?
Jackie. You call me whatever you want.
Okay. I have Michael talks about you continuously, about how wonderful you are and how gifted you are. I know through him the different depths of your studies in your history of your past, your relatives, and a little bit, would you like to tell the active listening audience, just tell them who you are and what you do and your new business?
Sure. You and Michael have been so kind to me. I want to make sure and emphasize it because we don't have a lot of you and Michael where, you know, you give us a chance to at least express ourselves. And I want to say thank you, Kathy and Michael. My name is Jacqueline, Jackie Granville. I'm trying to build up a group of girls called Jackie's Angels. I am a nurse's aide. I live in Florida, Plantation. And we have a group of girls that are willing, that are definitely looking for work in this area. We also will travel to other parts of the state to help with patients if they want to go on cruises, if they want to go on trips, if they just want to go to another home, or if they want to come to Florida. I have been in the medical field for 22 years. I am now going to school at Miami-Dade for physician's assistants because now I have kind of more free time. And I'm just working on, you know, talking to people and trying to look for patients, trying to look for work. We do different things where we do day shifts, we do night shifts, we do 4 hours minimum, that's going shopping, you name it. I get a lot of people that call and ask me a lot of questions. I usually, you know, I know some of the questions, I know some of the answers. You can always call me, 954-394-9461, Jacqueline Granville, Plantation, Florida. That's on Facebook, Jacqueline, J. Granville, 101 at yahoo.com. You can always email me and say, I heard you on Kathy and Michael Station. You can always do that. And, Kathy, is there anything else that you would like for me to say or mention at this point?
Okay. It's bbsradio.com, Bridging Wisdom. And Michael is very hard to get a hold of, but he is a big, huge part of this station. They can find out that you, I do believe you work with social workers and powers of attorneys.
Yes, right, Kathy, you're on the ball. I work with social workers, I work with power of attorneys. We work very well with other families.
And lawyers.
I have some male aides that are excellent. I have some women aides, you know, female aides that are excellent. Very good with personal care, very good with cooking. We go to the extent of making sure that we try and we put the right aid with the right patient, you know, compatible. If we see that, especially if the client's under a lot of stress, we will change that aid and put them on another case. Anybody who's not sure, they can always call me. 10 o'clock at night, 12 o'clock at night, I pick up my phone. If I can't, you can always leave a message and I will get back to you.
Let's talk a little bit about your certifications that you have with HIV AIDS patients and domestic violence education.
I am a HHA, home health aide. I am a doula. I have my medical assistant. I went to school for an RN, and then halfway through, I transferred over to Miami-Dade. Now I'm doing a physician's assistant. So while I'm a nurse's aide, I'm kind of always updating, you know, my medical knowledge. I hope to stay in the field. My mother asked me the other day, are you sure this is what you want to do? And, you know, I really thought about it because she was really asking, you know, a proper question. Am I just throwing myself in? And in my heart of hearts, this is what I, you know, I'd like to do. My plan B at some point is to probably go into psychology. So, you know, there's all sorts of different ways to do it. But I enjoy what I do. And I have been blessed with some wonderful patients. You know, they're not just patients, they're friends. You know, these are people that I love, you know, and each and every patient, you know, that I've had, they have their stories. You know, I could almost write a little chicken noodle soup of my, you know, book of my own, because everybody has a story. And I think I've remembered the most of the story.
You know, you also, from what I understand, you are from Parkinson's disease all the way to bipolar patients. You do a wide variety, and if the personalities don't match,
we do everything.
Then you find something that matches the personality of that
lately,
patient.
Lately, I've had a lot of, like, bipolar patients, which you have to kind of do less talking, and you respond to them when they talk to you, because sometimes if you over-talk, they can get very overwhelmed. Quadriplegics, mm-hmm. paraplegics. I have a Down syndrome sister that's in, you know, upstate New York. I have another sister in Jamaica that's she's paralyzed from neck down. You know, so it's not just working with people. I have it in my family.
Right.
You know.
It's very important to get the proper care, to get the proper care, the proper nutrient. And I tell you, what you are offering is an angel job, and that's what, you've got a beautiful name.
I don't think there's anything that I haven't, you know, dealt with. Cancer patients, hospice patients. A lot of my patients, I try and stay with them till the end, and that means going into hospice. That means giving them personal care in the hospice. You know, I love personal care. I love cooking. Some of my patients like to go out to a movie. Some of them like to go out to lunch. It depends. Everybody is different.
Jackie, let me ask you, where is your accent from?
I'm from England. I was born in England, and my parents are from Jamaica.
Wow. Now, I'm overwhelmed, because the things that Michael shared a little bit with me is that, you know, the heritage that you have with the metaphysical, or the, you know, the natural ways of also working with the natural healing processes, and
yes.
you know, the energies, yes. the energies that people have, and you care with your field that you're into, that's very important, because you've got that background that has been inherited. Now, yes. I have always questioned if we inherit our gifts or not, or if we have to manage, you know, because to me, I have a human services associates, and I work with, you know, I had to go to like mental institutions. I had to see the deaf. I had to, to work with the bipolar. I had to work with, you know, communications, relationships, Especially that got to me was the women, the unwed mother, you know, the parent, the pregnant ladies, and especially all of them touched me. But I went into chemically dependent adolescence, and it was the hardest thing I ever did, because when you do your internships, you know, they're violently upset. They're detoxing and everything, and you have to be a strong person to do what you're doing. And because I didn't make it, I said no, because it broke my heart. I wanted to take them all home with me. I loved them deeply, and I realized when I went through this, this is how I got so into what I do today, which is gifts of drawing to writing to reading, deep root readings, and that's how I got into shamanism and studied with the Native Americans for so long, is that we have to dig out everything inside of us. Everything, because our patient might have something that brings up an issue with me or you or anybody that's in this field, and we have to make sure that we have walked through our past and made sure that we have, you know. And I just want to say, stop, before I go any further, I've got to say hats off to Steve Horchak that had the opening of this music that was played, because he wrote that. He had written it a little bit in the past week or two, but last night he put it together, because I said, you think you'll have it ready by Tuesday? He goes, I don't know. So I've got to get with Steve. The quality is more profound than we thought, and we are so happy to have that as the opening of Bridging
Wisdom.
So happy. Yes. I call him Chip. I went to school with him. He was my first little kiss.
Now, something else, Kathy, also, when you said that, you know, we work with different patients, you know, human beings, something that is very important, and it's so hard with this economy, that a lot of the aides are very burnt out. It's very important as an aide, as a caregiver, as a companion, that whatever we have at home, we have to leave it at home, because we have to remember that we're going into somebody else's home.
Okay. Exactly. It's very hard
because there's people who saying, I've got to go to work, and they don't realize what they can pull into the door or pull, and not be able to keep that patient happy or keep that patient distracted, because the patient also has a lot on their mind also. You know, so you brought up another point. When we're coming, you know, I try and have it where the girls do not burn themselves out by going and saying, oh, I can do 7 days and seven nights. No. We try and we watch and monitor, and we try and keep an eye and make sure that they're not burnt out and say, well, I have to do 7 days in order to pay this and pay that, which is a very common thing that is happening now.
You know, Jackie, you just brought up something with me. Work hard, play hard, and love hard. You know, if we do this together, then if we could just step out of the bubble, you know, and you were telling me something today. It's just like with reading people, you know, we have to cleanse. There's proper ways to do that. We have to cleanse ourselves, because we bring all that energy in to ourselves.
All the energy. And we're like sponges, and we're gonna you know, you put in a dry sponge in a sink with water, it's going to suck up all of that water.
And it makes you feel like you're vamped and tired. You know,
yes.
That's a hard job, what Michael's got, being a reader. You know, the affirmations come very, very far.
And not only being a reader, there's some people that read, he's an excellent reader. And you both work well together. He's an excellent reader. I've been looking for somebody to read me, and at one point I said, you know what, I don't think I'm going to find him. I think I have to go to another country in the boondock somewhere. He's an excellent reader. He's good at what he does.
And he does it with compassion and love. And he's, you know, I can't stress it enough, and he does it so cheap, because he cares so much about people, and he doesn't I'm upset with him right now because he doesn't take care of himself. He carries the world on his shoulders. I'm not really upset with him, but I want him to take
care of himself. That's what you do. That's what you do. You do carry the world on your shoulders when you are, you know, what can I do for you? You know, I have to warn you about this. I have to warn you about that. That is, you are carrying the world on your shoulders.
Right. And, you know, I just want to ask for prayers, if you don't mind, everybody, because Michael and I love each other so much. But we have a lot of strains on us because I live in North Carolina. He's in New York. He's working hard. And we need to lift him up in prayers continuously and be grateful for what all he's given out to the world. And just remember, if you have had an intuitive consultation with Michael Goger, please, by all means, his email is michael_goger1@yahoo.com. Please send him a message. Let him know that you have got affirmations. Please don't forget that with anybody. Just with anybody that gives you an intuitive consultation. It is so important. So that we know we're on track with you, even though we know because we did, you know, it's just there. And especially when we're reading the person, they give us affirmations there. But then when more comes about, it's just really nice, like a thank you note, you know, especially as cheap a price as like Michael Goger goes for. I just wanted to state that out there. Jackie, do you do any?
Some people will come, they will get the reading, then they will walk away. Some people don't want to tell you. There's some people who actually want to hide if you say, well, such and such, oh no, such and such and such. And it's not a game. It's very serious. You know,
it's become I want to call it like a gumball machine. People think they can just put the quarter in, turn the quarter, you know, and get the gum, chew it up, the flavor's gone, then it's done. You know, but you can always put that bubble gum in the refrigerator, get that flavor back. But you know, I'm just saying it like that, just because it's becoming a dump.
Not only that, Kathy. Sometimes when you go and, you know, you get a reading, there's a lot of people who say, why does he have it? Why can't I have what he has? But yet the person doesn't know what he's gone through to have what he has.
Thank you so much, because I literally died for what I do. I mean, twice. Yes. And to walk a shaman walk and speak your truth, know your truth, hear your truth, see your truth, be your truth. The earth wisdom, you know, the full circle. And I am honored to beyond means to see my work so spread out there, and the words and the knowing that I have made a difference in people's lives. But please believe you me, to walk that walk and talk that, you have to become that path. And you cannot just take somebody's things and work and get a book and just spit out a book from other people's readings and writings, because it is a dangerous world out there. And that's going to bring me into this subject, the spiritual warfare we're in, because a lot of it to me is ourselves are what's the spiritual warfare, and our spirits that we're thinking, you know, and what I think is going to evolve, but what I speak has evolved. So what I think, my mother always said, I might as well have done it if I think it, because it's energy. Everything's energy. Doesn't matter.
That's right.
Because we're all energy. We're all one. We're all a community. But how you speak things out, you can say, I'm sorry if it was intentional, because sorry is intentional. But if you ask, pardon me or forgive me, that's different. You know, a lot of times I know for an example, I'll take and take and give and give and give and take and give and give and give and give. I'll take the situation. Not that I take much. It's hard for me to take from other people. But I'll give and give to try to keep everything calm and kosher. And I was listening to Tinder Cafe on BBS Radio last night, which is about, you know, being open with your sexual partners and what you do. And she said, I think her name is Veronica, if I'm not mistaken. Veronica, forgive me, or Tender Cafe. But I listen to BBS Radio constantly. And this point was brought up that a lot of times just people like me, we're codependents and we give. But when we finally say no, or we want to discuss something that is of a deeper manner, or that it's going to be a, you know, a very big situation in our lives, then the person can backfire and get all upset because they're not used to me saying no. You know, like my children or my family, or you know, even with Michael, sometimes Michael and I just rewind, you know, and just take it out of there. And he has to go, and he has to go into his man cave, as he calls it. But and Michael's in his man cave right now, by the way, everybody. So just be walk gently, and I love him. You know, I have to bottom out in the ocean, and we have to with relationships. And especially readers are so sensitive. We're all sensitive to a degree, but when you do this for a living, it is because you are sensitive is why you can do that particular field. And I want to say that the spiritual warfare right now is that people are thinking that they can just pick up like the, I've said this many times on my broadcast, but can just pick up like a Harry Potter broom and just start riding it and think they can do it all. And people are so hungry out there for direction, you know, and for guidance and understanding. Just give me some hope or give me something
and I
positive.
I think more now, Kathy, more than before. I think more now.
Oh, yes. Yes, ma'am. And it's very important to seek out credentials, to search that person's name, find out as much as you can possibly, because you are giving that reader trust, but also the reader is opening up into you. And don't jump and skip to different readers, because you'll just get bouncing off the walls with different things, and then you try to have to piece it together. Find the one that fits you. Find the one that suits you. People.
There are some people, Kathy, sorry, not to, you know, and there's some people who go all day. They can go from one up in, example, West Palm Beach, then they come to one in Pompano, then they come to one in Miami. And I know people are fascinated, but it's something that sometimes you're turning into a game because you want to know that everybody's coordinated, and there's people there that do it. Find the one good reader, and you'll know, and then you'll go from there.
I want to use the example of your aides. You know, just think of that. Think of a nurse's aide. And think of you as the patient, because that's basically what it said. We are like doctors, and we make appointments and everything. And, you know, you have the charge and all that stuff. But let me just say, you've got to find the personality that fits. And that's if you like what the person says and they got good credentials, then stick with them by all means. And give them affirmations. Tell them that they're doing a good job, because it's becoming a hardcore out there. It's just like what you said with somebody working 7 hours, 7 days a week. You know, that's like Michael, for an example. I want to say he does not take a break because he loves what he does. He's compassionate with what he does, but sometimes he just, and then he'll step back for a couple of weeks. You know, some people can do that. Michael's one of them. Other people,
probably,
you know,
more, like, I think probably it's more of, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, maybe he, you know, people want to, you know, sometimes, Michael, you give me a read, and Michael, you know, I even called in a panic this week. And between the both of you, it's like something could be going on with me, and it's like if I talk to you guys for 5 minutes, it's like both of you secure me, like, don't worry, Jackie, it's going to be okay. So sometimes when you want to say no, it's hard to say no because this one needs you, that one needs you, you know, friend A wants you, this one, and you can't say no, and then all of a sudden you do get exhausted.
Well, it's Jackie, it's just like we're on call, just like a doctor.
Yes.
You know, and if I can't take a call, I usually give them to Michael, or Michael, vice versa, you know, or you or whoever. That's what's so great about having a group, you know, that you can work with, you know. I want to also say, where did you get your training as a metaphysical intuitive?
Well,
was it inherited?
I think it was handed down from my family, because I used to get like a lot of dreams. I used to get a lot of warnings. And I started out one of my, you know, my grandmother in England was passing away, and it was like I was on a job, and it's like I could feel her, Kathy, coming to me and saying, okay, Jackie, I'm saying goodbye now. And I could remember being on that job in Boca West, in Boca, and calling my mother and saying, Ma, Grandma's gone. And lo and behold, when my mother called England, my grandmother was gone. And it just kept on building up and building up and building up, you know. But you've got to be able to take care of yourself. Otherwise, you get exhausted, you get sick, you know, and you just get so overwhelmed. You know, Kathy, you know yes, how it is.
I do know how it is. And, you know, the thing is that that's ironic, because when I was very young, maybe going ninth grade, my grandfather, I felt him the same way. My parents did not tell me he was in the hospital, that he was sick, but then I told them that he was passed away. And he was the first person that came to me on the other side. And he said, yeah, you can't touch me, but we can talk. He says, but don't try to touch me, because it won't work. He says, but here I am, and he sent me behind the dog pen, and there, I mean, it was weird. And I was like ninth grade, and I didn't know how to tell my family that. But they already knew at age 1.5 that I was very uniquely different, because I used to ride my horse at 8 years old, and I'd hold my arms out and just fly, you know, and I'd stand on her back, and I'd go swimming with her, and she didn't wear a bridle or a saddle or anything. But I just knew it was magic. She was magic for me, and I knew there was something out there. Nobody told me. I was just born into it. It was part of my...
You said something very interesting the other day. And because sometimes if I can't get to talk to you and Michael or get in and say hi, I listen on the radio. And I never forgot you said on the radio, I do what I do, but not all of my family know what I do. And I don't think people realize it. I think people think, you know, everybody in the family knows. Not everybody in the family knows. So I heard you when you said, not all of my family knows what I do.
No, they have no clue who I am and what I do. My personal life is my personal life. My professional life is my professional life. They do know that I write and I draw and they do come to me for intuitives. Every one of them. But the problem is they think that I see and focus in on them and know everything that they're doing, because I pinpoint names, dates, times, you know, medications. Even when I met Michael, the first time I met him, I named his doctor exactly this long word, but I was off by one letter at the first of it instead of a B. I said a B. And, you know, that's just something that I think of it like I studied it so hard when I was so young. Nobody taught me. I just knew. And I'd call the hawks and I'd say, tell me. And I'd hug a tree and say, oh, wise wisdom tree, oak tree, mighty oak tree, you've been here so long, hundreds of years. Tell me your wisdom. Tell me what you feel. And I'd sit there and I would lean against that tree for the whole day with my horse sitting by my side eating grass. You know, I was only 8 or 9 years old doing that. And I would talk to the water and I'd watch the things in the water. And that's what hurts me, as what I've gone through to study, for people to all of a sudden say, I'm going to be this, or I'm going to be that, or I'm going to be a reader.
You can't.
You know what I mean?
We can't. What a person needs to understand, you can't go and pick and say, well, I want this. They have to come and pick you. And that's what a lot of people don't realize.
And that's, I believe, why so many people bounce around from reader to reader, because have not died and become that. Like, you know, it's a soul thing, and you've got to eat it, sleep it, drink it, every bit of it, but you've got to stay in that moment. Let go of all the past, just like we had to walk through for our classes. I believe my human services helped me a lot, you know, the classes I took. Because it gave me the option to look, and I had to go to a counselor for 11 years, and it was by choice. But I wanted to understand what it was that I was rooting out, because I wanted to be the best for the person, the patient, the the you know, sitter, whoever or whatever that I'm giving my information out to, and that it's valued. And today, it's sad because I believe this world is at its situation because of the greed, because of not respecting. If everyone would respect, just believe and respect. Respect the person, respect where you get what you get from, and respect the rights of others, you know, instead of listening in on their conversations on the phone or watching them in, you know, through the computer or whatever. It's a respect human rights situation. And believe you me, I'm used to being watched, listened to, and, you know, tapped into, because it's evidently something that's very much needed out there. And I consider myself and know that I'm a prophet. I know I'm a prophet because I just know that I've lived it, I've walked it, I've died for it. And the prophet says no more, no less. They don't go on and on and on. Like, you know, I get on these stations, Jackie, and I just start spitting it out. And I might get a mother voice on just like this. But you never know. It's because I'm making a point. You know, I'm making a point. But people in my real life, when I get like that, because I've been on air for so long or I've been working for so long, they go, "What is wrong with you? You need a medication. Go take a med." You know, and I'm like, "What in the world?" Okay, well, that means, because people speak what they need for themselves. You know, they don't get it that whatever they're saying is what they are needing for themselves. And evidently, I'm needing, by speaking this out, that I need for people to respect me more, because I feel like I am being taken for granted and used and abused out there in the World Wide Web. Michael says my stuff is everywhere. He says they copy it continuously. He hears it and reads it in books and on places. Yes. That's great and fine. But I don't make a dime off of anything. I do not publish any. I am totally free. God gave me these gifts and I'm giving them out free. But the thing is I live on a little $900 a month check. And that's hard. People think I got all this money because my family does. But believe you me, that's not the way it washes.
I
want to thank everybody.
What people don't realize is that if you don't obey the spirit, the messenger, what you've been blessed with, people don't realize you can be in a house full of furniture, whatever, and you can be on the street the next minute. Why? Because you did not obey, or you did not do what you were told to do, what you were ordered to do. And this is what people don't realize. You know?
Right. It's a blessing and a gift. My mother, my father have fixed it to where I don't need anything, but I don't own anything. That helps me to focus on my gifts. That's why God had it situated this way, because I'm able to focus on everybody and help them and stay in my truth, because I have got it that way. But I have to highly respect what I've got. It's not mine.
It's borrowed.
And the thing is we live in a material world, but it is only spiritual, because where are we going when we die? Where are we going? Can we take it with us? No.
No.
Why can't
we
just love and respect? Jackie, I want to add that I believe that has a lot to do with the spiritual war, because our spirits out there get so, like you said, the go to work and those caretakers need to be leaving their stuff at home. And when you go to work,
Which is what people don't realize. A lot of cases when the patient isn't happy, and the patient is scared to say that they're not, you know, that they are unhappy. When you go in and you try and figure out, the aide is overworked, and you know, because of the way how everything is, and it could be mostly like a single mother, and she could be saying, "Well, I'm living from paycheck to paycheck, so I've got to come in here and I've got to do," and they're exhausted, and they're not realizing that. They're making more mistakes. They can make mistakes, you know, with medications, because they're exhausted from saying, "Well, I have to work 7 days a week in order to get what I get done." But then the patient ends up, you know, being and feeling neglected.
You know, Jackie, that's what I mean by spiritual warfare, because we bring our spirits into people with what we've carried in our past if we don't stay in that moment. And then the patient basically has a spiritual problem because they can't say, what they need because they feel that they will get in trouble or they will lose that aid. And that's a spiritual battle there. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
And so that's why I feel that it's a spiritual war out there, you know, but we also have all the entities that we have. It's our past and it's our things that we have not lived up to because we are easy to close that door and say, and lie to ourselves, but you can't really lie to yourself. You know, you can twist the things around because it's going to come back up at you. If you keep your vessel inside the street clean, know that you were wrong at something and admit it. Just get it on with it. Admit it. You know, I think of a child. You know, that's another thing Veronica brought up last night, because I've written about my inner child. I've used my left hand as my adult because I'm left-handed, and I have written and asked questions to my child, which is my right hand, and answered. She said she didn't get balloons. Her wounded inner child wanted balloons in a birthday party, and her adult child said, that was stupid. Yeah, that was dumb. But why? Because she needs to acknowledge that she deserves that. That's what she was using as an example tonight.
Yes. Healing the inner child, which is what helps a lot of people, and some people don't want to admit it. I like attempting to heal my inner child because it helps me.
Well, another thing is that, you know, when we act out and when we get all upset over something about somebody, something, you know, that we need to go as the child and talk to our adult self. Yes. Because we have an adult self, a child self, and we have a nurturer, healer, teacher self. And then we have our God self. Because we've all got the adult self, we got the child self, and we got the teacher. And that, it always is one of them. You know, one of them's going at one time, but the other one might get upset. It's the personalities in a person. And, you know, I'm honored to be able to communicate with you about these things and have somebody to bounce off with, you know, with how I feel, because it's so important. Tell some of the things that you feel, Jackie, if you don't mind, about the importance of cleansing oneself after a read.
Very important. Very important to cleanse yourself, because you don't know what that person has. Sometimes, you know, the person will come, what's going to happen here, what's going to happen there. Sometimes the person already knows. Sometimes, again, the person has gone somewhere else, and when they come to you, they're just coming full force. You know, I've had people that have come in front of me, and Kathy, I'm ready to fall on the floor, because whatever is around them, whatever, you know, energy is around them, it will just come and knock you right over, and you've got to balance yourself. So cleaning, cleansing. Sometimes even cleansing. Sometimes you go out and you come in and you don't feel right. Sometimes you have to cleanse yourself that way. It's important for you in order to maintain yourself. You know, if somebody needs medication for high blood pressure, you're not going to put the pills there and not take them. You have to take them. You know?
I'm sorry, Jackie, I had to let my dog out. But what do you feel of everybody can find their own way of cleansing, just like meditations, you know?
Meditation, everybody does it, a little water, everybody does it. It depends on the person, but cleansing, taking 5 minutes just to take a breather for yourself, meditation, connecting with your inner child, anything, a little white candle, different things. Everybody does different things.
Mm-hmm. I want to let you keep, I just took a bite of something.
Good, good, and it's good to hear you laugh.
My sugar was down. I have a thyroid problem. And I get so tired, but a little bite of something will help me up a lot, even though it's not my blood sugar.
Yeah.
But I want to also state that, you know, meditations can be done in different ways. Like today, somebody posted, I'm going to say it again, BBS Radio's TNT News Trader. I love to read that thing. They posted something to the Sky Cosmic. or Girl Cosmic, because we never know who's who in there. And it was a song. It was about being in the water and for somebody to come and get them. You know, yeah. But it was like love, but it was, I love to get into music and go swim. I always go swimming. I do my rhythmic breathe, everything. And that's my exercise as well as it's my meditations, because I am in that water. I am going and I am swimming and I'm going with the flow of the music. Yes. And that is my type of meditation, but I also lay flat and I love to go up to the starship and lay on the, like, if you think of the Enterprise, you know, the Starship Enterprise.
Yes.
And
yes.
I love to lay up there and I call one father and the mother. She always has a Statue of Liberty hat on, you know, a mask, because she says that she's, yeah, she might scare me if I saw what she looked like. And I said, but how can love scare you? And yeah, anyway, I get up here, I lay on that bed, on that table up there, and I get totally aligned. I start with my mind can go into my toe and can move all the way up. And when I feel like somebody's zooming in on my thoughts or energy, I can hide and cloak all into my body, or I can be a bark on a tree, you know, or whatever. Yes. And they can't, that Michael, sometimes he goes, because we intertwine so much with our thoughts that sometimes we don't know who's thinking what. And so he says, I couldn't find you today. And I said, that's because I was a peanut, you know, on a tree. On the land.
Kathy, do you do a lot of healing with your chakras? What do you
Michael does my chakras, but I also have learned from different people and in the Native American culture that I take a lasso, just like I'm a cowboy, and I'll throw it around my head and throw it around my head, and then I'll throw it around in a circle, throw it around in a circle, and then I will step into it, okay?
Yes.
Once I step into that circle, I brush all the way up my left side without taking my hand off, all the way up my head, all the way down my right side, out front, back, and throw that energy off my hands into that lasso. Out of that lasso, I mean, I throw it, you know, and I go, you know, like a dart, like a poison dart.
Yes.
And I throw it out there so that it's dispersed, and I give it to Saint Germain and let him transmute it into the ultraviolet flames. And then I pull that lasso up over my head and pull it really tight. And then I pull from the root chakra all the way up the base and so clockwise and center them. And with my third eye, I go down inside and I turn them. And I feel like they go, you know, just like one of those things, if you thought about it, where the people listen to the combination locks. Yes. You know how to get the combination locks, like they're going to break into a bank. Well, I break into my chakras and I turn them until they click just right. And I go all the way up. And then once I'm done, I pull the rope up over my head through my head and pull from the root all the way up each chakra, each color. And I breathe it out. And then I take it like it's in that lasso. So I'll breathe it back in real deep.
Okay.
And then I pull it really tight and I'm all closed up and balanced.
Okay, yeah, because I love the healing of the chakras, but I need to learn more with that, you know.
I tell you, I can't say enough about Michael. He knows everything about chakra, and he can teach it too, and that's who I would suggest you go to. He is going to do meditation CDs, also chakra CDs, and offer chakra cleansing. And he's just on a little, he's supposed to be here on the 6th of July, so maybe we'll get some of those CDs done, hopefully, if he's still coming. I don't know. But I'm sure he is coming, because he's just, it's hard to plan things, you know, when you work all the time. So,
yes.
But I'm telling you, his chakras cleansing, I feel like a new person. He makes spirals, okay? That's how I do my own, by stepping in that. And I call it casting a circle, you know, and I step inside my circle. But like with Michael, he uses spirals, and he uses colors and cones, and he spirals it in, and he does it that way. And then he pulls that color around, like you think of an ice cream cone.
Yes.
And
yes.
think of the cone part with the ice cream being upward, but the tube of the cone is downward into that chakra. And then he surrounds me with that color that my chakra, like say I need teal or I'll need orange or I'll need, you know, he knows the colors and he knows what my body needs.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what he does
okay.
with this person because he okay. reads into him before. So I would highly suggest you go and see Michael Goger. That's Michael_Goger, number 1 at yahoo.com.
Okay.
What would you like to discuss, Jackie? I mean, we've got about 5 minutes left. Do you have a webpage you can give out? Or how
I'm just so grateful to be on your radio show. I am grateful for you and Michael. I'm grateful that I know you and Michael. I'm doing a lot of work. I am going to school. I'm really working my butt off. And there's times where when you and Michael are there and I talk to you when I'm just really exhausted and sometimes there's nobody there to kind of encourage me, you two are the ones that say that there's something in your words that say to me, it's going to be okay. And I thank both of you. You know, I don't take these radio shows for granted. You don't have to talk to me, but you put yourself out. Michael puts himself out. And I want to thank you on the radio where people can hear so that they know I'm not just talking and, you know, you two are two beautiful, real people, Kathy.
Thank you so much, Jackie. I tell you, I've never felt so honored to hear those words. That is just very humbling. And
it's refreshing. You know, it's refreshing to meet people who say, can I go the extra mile for you? It is so refreshing, Kathy. I don't think you realize it.
I guess not. And, you know, it's just an honor to hear those words, because it's very rare that I do hear those words. And it almost is bringing me to tears.
I don't want you tears. I want you happy.
They're joyous tears. They're happy, joyous tears. Jackie, they're happy, joyous tears to know that I'm touching if one person, you know. And I thank you for that. I'm honored. What if you could think of anything, what about animals? You know, animals are very important to me. How
yes.
they mock and mimic us, you know.
You know what I wish I could have done, and I don't know if Michael can do it, read animals.
You know what? Did you see that dog thing that somebody put on the TNT News Trader, and I put it on my Facebook page, where there was three dogs, and
yes.
the mother goes, which one of you did it? And it was a black one, a champagne color poodle. They were standing up on the steps, and then the white poodle was over to the side, and it looked down. That little white, they both turned their heads and looked at the white poodle right away. And then and then she goes, "Now, which one of you did it?" And they both looked over at the white one again, and then the little white one put its little head down, started blinking its little eyes, and then it went off to its room. It was so cute. Because to me, I read animals all the time. I'm like, that's who taught me, is the animals taught the animal kingdom, the four-legged and the winged ones, and you know, all of those creatures have taught me everything because they live here. They know how to survive without harshness. And so I listen to the animals and watch them continuously. I'm a bird freak, for one thing. One of my names is Love of a Songbird that I used to write under because of the love of the birds, the winged creatures. I also I learned from my dad how to make beehives and to work with bees and how they lived and worked in a colony. And I watch ants. I watch caterpillars. I watch them all. I think that they're all gifts to me. And, you know, if we just pay more attention to our animals and quit taking them to the daggum vet all the time, because they are using them as guinea pigs. I don't take my dog to the vet, even if she's got a bad tooth. I stick an aspirin down her throat and some some of that Orajel. I put the Orajel, and I wait till it comes out, and she's fine. She's 14 years old. Do you know that since Michael's been gone, when he came to visit, she goes over, and when he's upset, and I don't even know it, she goes over to where he laid on the sofa when I was so sick, and we have a wraparound sofa, and he laid on one end, and she goes and scratches at where his feet sat, and she'll dig and dig and dig when he's upset, and that's how I know to call him. If I'm not tuned in because I'm working or something, and I've cut, because we have to cut that cord with like a umbilical cord so that we can work. But that's how in tune my dog is to hit, you know, for him and to love him. And there's not too many people out there that do animals because they take them for granted. We slaughter them, kill them. And do you know that now that what they're doing to the chickens, they're only letting them live 63 days and they have no feathers and they cannot stand on their feet. That's what we're eating as chickens.
I didn't know, Kathy.
We are putting that in our freaking mouths. Wow. And we're swallowing. And what we're doing to the food population, girl, that's what we're eating. And look at what we've done to our water. All from greed. And look at me stuff. And I got more than you. It's sad. Yes. That's why you brought me to tears a little bit, because I'm so humbled that people out there like you, because it's just not there. Jackie, we're at 5 till the
hour. My mother, she listened to she says, I like that, Michael. They're nice people. I said, yes, they are, Ma. You know. Mm. And I want to say that on the radio. I don't want to hide and not say it.
It's wonderful to hear and feel. And I just send out big hugs to Michael and tell him I just love Michael Goger to pieces and back, period.
Yeah.
I love you, Jackie, to pieces and back. I love everybody so much, so, so much. It's just in my heart to just give out that love. I don't know anger or hurt, to hurt other people. If I have hurt you, anybody, it was not intentional. I get my mother voice on and I'm boldly, bluntly, brutally honest. Almost my mother says to a fault. And that's what I throw back at people when I feel hurt. With that, Jackie, I want to say, let's make a big, 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 big energy ball bubble and put some things in there and then cast it out and let it explode all over the whole world and universe. I want to put in honor. I want to put in humbleness. I want to put in respect. I want to put in love, unconditional love. I want to put in forgiveness and communication. I want to put in there people, places, and things. What would you like to put in there?
I would like to put in, you know, unconditional love, patience, understanding. I'd also send out love to both of my sons that I miss dearly. You know?
Gratitude. I want to give to my children too, girl. Oh, I love you. Let's kick that ball off with some big piece wrapped around it, okay? Huge piece.
Yep, there we go.
And we're going to throw it out there. Everybody, you have been listening to my friend Jackie. Give out your webpage or your information. Could you give out your information one more time real quick?
Jacqueline Granville, 954-394-9461, J. Granville, GRANVILLE, 101, @yahoo.com, and Jacqueline Granville, Plantation, Florida, Facebook, where my blog is on, and all of these beautiful radio shows I've had with Kathy and Michael.
Oh, thank you so much. And this is BBS Radio. Thank you, Don and Doug Newsom, the owners. And thank you, Seth, the engineer. And thank you, all the active listening audience, as well as the archive audience. This is Kathy Cook, Bright Lights Pathfinders, Bridging Wisdom, one wisdom spoke at a time, bringing life one octave higher, one broadcast at a time. See you out there. Bye-bye.